close, very, very close. Thanks to all of the gospel partners who have stepped up during our spring match campaign titled No Retreat, because that is our intention here at Fortis Institute. No retreat when it comes to truth. No retreat when it comes to gospel proclamation. If you have not yet participated, would you help us get over the finish line with our matching gift campaign? It's a matching gift campaign. Did I mention it's a matching gift campaign? In other words, it's a good time. If you've been considering supporting us financially, we'd be grateful if you'd consider doing so now. You can learn more about the No Retreat campaign at fortisinstitute.org/donate.
Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
So it's not a sin in your church to have an abortion?
That's the kind of conversation we would have finding out your story, where you're from. God's the judge. People have to live to their own conviction.
The science is clear. The Bible is clear. And if we're honest, our intuitions are clear. We know what we're killing. We're killing a human being.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Getting to know you. Getting to know all about you.
Getting to know whom?
Getting to like you. Getting to hope you like me.
Getting to know your wife, of course.
Getting to know you. Putting it my way, but nicely. You are precise.
Hey, Jimmy.
Yes.
You a fan of musicals?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Well, then we have something in common. Did I mention this is Wretched Radio? What was your Sunday service about? After all, it was Mother's Day, and it certainly wouldn't be a sin for a church to acknowledge a federal holiday. But an Alpharetta Bible Church, typically, and I mean typically as a rule, we don't let the federal government nor Hallmark dictate the content of the sermon or even the service for that matter. We're kind of pristine in that regard. Again, it's not a sin for a church to mention it. We actually mention mothers, of course, in our pastoral prayer, but the service wasn't revolving around mothers. Why? Because we let the next verse dictate the content of the service. So whatever it is that the next verse in our expository preachings of a particular book, whatever that text is, that's the subject matter. In other words, we let God determine the content. Having said that, providentially on Sunday morning, Mother's Day, it was the perfect sermon. Well, it wasn't a perfect sermon. Believe me, I know that. It was the perfect sermon for wives. Why? Because it happened to be a text, 1 Peter 3:7, that was aimed at husbands. So you see how that worked. It wasn't about women so much as how a husband is supposed to treat his wife. And whilst Peter, in 6 verses preceding 1 Peter 3:7, gave women one command, he gives men 3 commands, including live with your wife in an understanding way. Live with your wife. In other words, she ain't a roommate. She's not a buddy. She's not a boarder. She's not a servant. You are doing life with your wife. It is a one flesh union. You are in a covenant relationship with her and you live with her. It's integrated. That sounds like a really good podcast, if you don't mind me saying so.
I think so.
Yeah, integrated. Very good podcast. You can find it at Spotify and all that stuff with Dr. John Kratz. You are to be integrated with your wife, knit together, marching step by step to celestial city. That is what it means to live with your wife. But then Peter says, do it in an understanding way. In other words, you're supposed to know your wife. You're supposed to study your wife. Let me take you back in time. What year was this? This thing was 2008. That's the year. So that would be a lot of years ago, 2008. The movie Fireproof was released. You remembered, of course, with a little growing pain, struggling with his wife. Why? Well, he was looking at bad things on the internet. Their marriage was estranged and somebody, I guess it was the dad, gave him a book, The Love Dare, I think, The Love Challenge, something like that. And you had to spend 30, 40 days doing stuff for your wife. And one of the things that you were supposed to do was study your wife. I remember this scene vividly and initially going, yeah, whatever. Because you see, at that point, I'd been married for maybe almost 20 years. And I thought, I don't need to study my wife. I know my wife. And so the scene, honestly, was kind of like, it bugged me.
So what day are you on?
18.
And?
And still difficult. Every day has me adding a new concept to the way I treat her.
For example?
Well, here. Day 16 was about praying for her. I kind of skipped that one. Day 17 is about listening to her. 18 is about studying her again.
Studying her?
Yeah, here. When a man is trying to win the heart of a woman, he studies her. He learns her likes, dislikes, habits, and hobbies. But after he wins her heart and marries her, he often stops learning about her. If the amount he studied her before marriage was equal to a high school degree, he should continue to learn about her until he gains a college degree, a master's degree, and ultimately a doctorate degree. It is a lifelong journey that draws his heart ever closer to hers.
It's a pretty good concept. I never thought about it like that.
So do you study Tina?
Yeah, but I don't think I got my college degree on her yet. So tell me a little bit more about the studying her.
I'm supposed to make her a candlelight dinner, then ask her a whole list of questions.
My advice is go all out.
The enthusiasm was palpable. Study your wife. Ask her questions. Get to know her, not on a surface level, not just habits, but what motivates behavior, what drives her, what produces either anger, fear, concern, worry. It's not just enough to know it and see the signs. That's a part of it, and that's a good first step. But getting down to the heart level, what's going on down there, darling, requires asking questions. It requires trying to discover what their theology, their practical theology is in the moment. How are they viewing God? How are they viewing self? How are they viewing sin? How are they viewing the promises of the Bible? What is it that, if you will, triggers what you are witnessing? And so to that end, I prepared some questions for you, dude. Questions to see what kind of a degree you have when it comes to knowing your wife. Because we should be having a PhD. Now, it takes years to do that. But this test, I think, reveals just how well we do or don't know our wives. Are you ready to play? How well do you know your wife? Jimmy, you don't have to answer these out loud.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm just going to ask these questions. And the reason that I'm sharing this is not just to retread material from a Sunday morning sermon, but a number of people after the service said, could I get that list of questions? That was kind of helpful because it's kind of hard to know where to start. That's why that fireproof thing was like, well, I know her. Come on, I've been living with her for like 2 decades. I know her. But the more I thunk about it, the more I realized, no, I don't know the motivations of the heart. I don't know what's happening inside of there as much as I like to think I do, because I probably have just been focusing more on behavior and not what lies behind the feelings, the sentiments, the behavior, and the actions. And so to that end, here we go. Sir, what kind of a degree would you get in Wifeology 101? Let's start with spiritual life. How would you describe your wife's current walk with Christ? What evidences of grace do you see growing in her? Do you observe those things? It's pretty easy in a marriage to discover the stuff that bugs you, isn't it? But have you taken the time to notice the stuff that doesn't? Here's more specifically, have you taken the time to notice the stuff that she did that used to bug you, but she decided to make a concentrated effort to go to work on, and it doesn't bug you anymore because she doesn't do it anymore? Have you noticed that? Have you said anything to her about that? What specific sins or temptations does she most commonly struggle with? When does she feel closest to the Lord, and what strengthens her walk? What discourages her spiritually the most right now? What makes her feel most secure in your relationship? So these are relational and emotional questions. What makes her feel most secure with you? What most often causes her anxiety or fear? Why does she respond the way she does when she feels hurt? Or fill in the blank with an emotion. Hurt, angry. If you even exhibit bitterness, what is behind it? Why? And there can be a myriad of things that are behind it. And it's our job as husbands to know our wives, because we are living with her in an understanding way, so that we can, not because we're greater spiritually, but so that we can help. We can know how to live with. We can know how to react to. We can know how to comfort and to counsel and to move our wives forward if they're stuck. And by the way, this is a two-way street, but we're just talking about the dudes right now. If she ever blows up, what's the heart reason? So when it comes to anger, when it expresses herself, what's going on behind it? Find out. Study her. And that means you're probably going to have to ask her questions about it. Oftentimes, it can be fear. She gets mad at you for something, but it's not because she's actually mad at you as much as she is afraid of something. Do you know that? Is it frustration? Is it pride? Do you study your wife? Jimmy, how are we doing on the exam?
Not very well. Just being honest.
Don't worry. It's going to get worse. Next on Wretched Radio.
No retreat. That's the name of Fortis Institute's Spring Match campaign. And here's why. The culture we live in right now has made it pretty clear it has very little interest in the true gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're being told to keep our faith quiet in public, or to soften what we believe so it goes down easier. Fortis Institute has no intention of doing either one. We exist to advance the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and this spring, we're doing it as loudly and as boldly as we know how. Your gift will help launch two new podcasts. It puts Todd Free Bill's new book, Go Serve Your King, into print through HarperCollins. And it puts the gospel back onto college campuses where it's least welcome and most needed. Our goal is $250,000, and we're asking if you would prayerfully consider helping us get there. You can find out more right now at fortisinstitute.org/donate.
Would you like the university experience without the, university experience? The Masters University invites you to visit their campus, or you can visit them online at masters.edu/wretched to discover a Christian college that is biblical, that offers all of the academic excellence you desire: sports, athletics, arts, communication, all of the activities of, a secular university without the, secular parts. Please consider the Masters University online, or of course, on-campus learning, undergrad, master's, and doctoral programs. It's Masters University, the university with the university experience without the university experience. Masters.edu/wretched.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. We've brought together a team of fellows, people like Tim Challies, Dr. Jason Lyle, Dr. Andrew Walker, Dr. Greg Gifford, Pastor Brad Bigney, Todd Friel, Dr. John Krotz, Libby Clausen, Dr. Adam Tyson, and they're all committed to teaching the Word without apology. And the reason that we've been able to bring voices like this together in one place is because of our gospel partners. Just go to fortisinstitute.org right now. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Know your reformers. John Calvin was a French pastor, an author of the Institutes of the Christian Religion. His writings and ministry made Geneva, Switzerland a hotbed of Reformed theology. His institutes are still guiding documents for Reformed churches across the globe. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Here to help you feel like a loser. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, you feeling like a speed bag in there?
Absolutely.
The questions for men that determine how well we know our wives, because we are commanded by the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 3 to live with our wives in an understanding way, according to knowledge. And I've got a number of questions that were asked Sunday morning at Alpharetta Bible Church that apparently struck a nerve. Because, Jimmy, all these questions about how well we know our wives, aced it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, this sermon, it didn't have anything to do with me and everything to do with all the other guys.
That's right.
I was just trying to be a blessing.
That's right.
Is what I was trying to be.
To be a better husband.
And these are questions that they're a little bit deeper than just knowing your wife and her patterns and her habits and her preferences, but getting down deep to understand them. And Jimmy, you'd mentioned there were a few in here where it's like, ooh.
Oh, yeah.
I maybe should consider how well I know my wife in that area.
Absolutely. Like, I mean, just simple questions that you think you should know, like what makes her feel most secure with you? I should know that.
Right. And you maybe do. You need to think about it a
surfacely
bit.
Surfacely, maybe.
Right.
But there's a deeper aspect that I know I don't know.
No, you just used the word that I think is important. And that's why I bring up the fact that you so miserably failed the exam so far.
Thanks.
Yeah. You said deeper.
Uh-huh.
It's deeper.
Yeah.
If you start studying your wife in this way, there is a benefit. Your relationship will go deeper. You're going to be getting below the surface, where we tend to just be bugged by stuff that we witness in a spouse. And this streak goes both ways. But again, it's the day after Mother's Day. So we're celebrating women and talking about women's issues. So that when we study what's happening at the heart level, you're going to have conversations that are more profound than "how was your day, dear?" When we ask questions like, "oh, it wasn't good. Let's talk about it. Tell me about it. What happened? What were you feeling in that moment? What were you thinking about God in that moment? What was the outcome that you were hoping for in that moment? What are you doing? You're going down deeper. And I can't help but think about drive-by marriage. It's a resource that we have at FortisPlus.org. It's absolutely free. I think it's 30, 40, 15-minute lectures on the subject of marriage. And the study guide questions that go with it, I was just looking at them the other day. I started to go through the study guide and the questions, oh man, they bring you in deep. And I remember doing these, going through the study guide with Mrs. Friel. And I remember actually feeling we were with groups. Couples were broken up. We were teaching it in our subdivision. And so couple, and we're all sitting around and just talking with our spouses, going through these questions. And I remember going, I am feeling so close to my wife right now. Why? Because we were going deeper. Would you like to feel closer to your wife? She would like that, by the way. I can assure you of that. She'd like that. These are the conversations she's probably been longing to have. But if you would like that also, start going deeper. We've got to overcome the initial knee-jerk reaction to just fix stuff. So how was your day, dear? Terrible. Where are the kids? Let's deal with it. Get the kids out here. No, hold on. Just slow down. You can deal with it, but we can talk and ask and listen and get to know our wives. Let's continue our exam, shall we, and see what sort of degree you get in wifeology. Communication. Does she feel you listen to understand or primarily to respond? What topics are hardest for her to talk about with you? How does she prefer to process conflict? Does she want to deal with it immediately, or does she need time? What does she wish you would say more often? Oh, man, Scylla. Do you know the answer to that question? What does she wish that you would say to her more often than you currently do? How's about marriage dynamics? In what areas does she feel most supported by you? In what areas does she feel most alone or unsupported? How does she perceive your leadership in the home? Hey, dude, you want to do something manly? Ask her that question. That's right. And take it like a man, Hank. If you ask your wife, how am I doing, honey? You better brace yourself, gird your loins, get ready for the response, because it might not be that she's going to build you a golden statue like they just built for Donald Trump, which looked really, looked very, very Trumpy. I'll just say that. Would she build a statue for your leadership? To commemorate how well we are doing? That is a more manly act than going and wrestling a wild boar. That's a more manly question. What makes her feel most loved by you? What are her greatest current burdens? Are they internal or external? What responsibilities feel overwhelming to her right now? When she's stressed, what tends to help her the most? Do you know? What practical pressures weigh most heavily on her? Is it work? Is it home? Is it family? Is it health? What's bearing down on her right now? This is not the only, in fact, it shouldn't be the only way that you deal with a home that is currently experiencing a fair amount of conflict. I think those issues need to be addressed head on. But maybe a step in that direction is asking questions like to get to the answers that these questions seek to reveal, where you start asking your wife more intimate questions about her. What are you stressed about, sweetheart? And maybe some of the other conflict issues can then be addressed when she sees that you're actually interested and that you care. This can bring down the temperature in your home. And what will happen, what will happen almost inevitably is she's going to start doing likewise. These are helpful things to discern about our wives. It can make a difference when it comes to acrimony in your home. And if you are currently in a conflict with your spouse, maybe starting to demonstrate that you want to know her might just thaw things a little bit and allow you then to deal with those issues. More questions. That's right. There's more. What brings her the most joy in life? What activities make her feel most refreshed? What activities make her feel most exhausted? Here's a question, for instance, that you could ask. You can pick a couple. You can pick an activity. Sweetheart, how much do you like spending time with that couple? Because I've never asked. I just assumed you do. I do, but I didn't know if you do. What about this activity? What about this thing that we watch on TV because I like to? Do you like it? How come? Would you like me to watch less of it? Final question. And this one is probably going to sound a little bit weird unless you've studied family of origin issues. In other words, unless you've studied your wife's background, her upbringing, the behaviors, the patterns, the habits, and the customs of her family of origin to understand why she does the things she does, this will sound a little foreign. What aspects of her upbringing still shape how she thinks, responds, or fears today? The family of origin, if you've never studied that about your wife, oh, is that ever telling? And I'm telling you, it is so helpful. For instance, if you've got a wife who never closes the cabinet drawers. did her mom close the cabinet drawers?
Yes. She was so rebellious.
Nuts. I was hoping that I would have an example. But oftentimes that is the case. Why your spouse likes a particular thing, does a particular thing, it's because that's the way mom and dad did it. It is as simple as that. And knowing about her family background will help you identify things and go, okay, I see why she does that. And it might be less inclined to bother you if it's a different way of doing something than the way you do it. That's the way she grew up. Is it a sin because she happens to be following the pattern of her parents? Probably not. And so we need to know about those things. Question: how'd you do on the exam? What sort of a diploma would you be awarded? High school diploma regarding your knowledge of your wife? Undergrad? Master's? Doctorate?
I didn't qualify for a GED. Just being honest.
Well, then I guess I know what the Hickses will be doing this evening, don't we? And it wouldn't be a bad thing to do. You use some of these things to ask. You watch where it goes. And the deeper you go, the more closely knitted you will be with your wife, and the more you will experience all of the blessings and joy of having a one flesh union, because you are living with your wife in an understanding way. This is Wretched Radio.